Hello and welcome to another broadcast. We're looking in Genesis chapter 30. Have your Bible ready. We're in the message number 2 on the tale of two girls. Broadcast, we see that verse number 1, Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister, because if you remember, her sister was now having children, had 4 of them, and said unto Jacob, give me children or I die. And then in verse 2, we saw that Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? What are you blaming me for? Well, we saw that, first of all, we have blame here. That won't solve anything. And it wasn't Jacob's fault, this problem, that God had was the one in charge of whether she was going to be barren or not. So we have envy in verse number 1, not a good thing. We have anger in verse number 2, and that is never the solution. And as we said, this is all emotional stuff. Why didn't somebody say, let's stop and let's pray about this and find the mind of God on it? Nobody's doing that. So what did she say? Well, she said, verse 3, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Now, you know what this is? This is just plain stupid. Now, some people don't like me using that word stupid. We teach our children not to say stupid. Well, I don't think boys and girls, children should call their, you know, one another stupid. But the word stupid here simply means lacking intelligence or common sense. They're not thinking clearly, and the reason they're not thinking clearly is because a series of actions, and we've said before, God waits for our action and then he reacts accordingly. Well, there's been a series of actions that are totally against what God wants. Well, when we do that, what happens is we lose the ability to think clearly. We start thinking stupid. You'll find all kinds of stuff in the Bible like that, where people are just not thinking right. Why not? Because they're not capable of thinking right anymore. They have lost the ability to discern. So we have in verse number 1, envy, and we have in verse number 2, anger. Anger, Jacob, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader in this family here. It's time for you to lead. Now, Rachel comes up with a plan, and what does he do? He follows her. He's supposed to be in charge. And so we see the first thing he does is he gets angry. Now, you remember back in Genesis 27 and verse 35, that's the first time we have the word anger in the Bible. And we find that Esau and Jacob are, one is angry with the other. It's a family thing that's going on here, as you can see. Well, anger, that doesn't solve anything. And what does he do? Instead of taking charge, he gets angry. And second, he submits to her nonsense. And so Rachel's not the only one that's acting stupid in this story. And so in verse number 4, we read, she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Nonsense. Why didn't he do what his father did? What did he do? Well, in Genesis 25 and verse 21, it says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Well, it says Isaac entreated. That means he prayed. Well, Jacob, why didn't you do that? No, I think I'd just rather go in and spend the night with my wife's handmaid. And you wonder why I use the word stupid? Well, Jacob, your father prayed. And if you stop and think about it for a minute, Jacob, that's how you got here. He prayed, she conceived, and here you are. Well, Jacob, are you going to take your responsibility? Are you going to take the spiritual leadership in this family? No, not today. I like Rachel's idea better. Well, in verse 5 and 6, we read, Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son, and Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Now, very interesting. She conceived and Rachel called his name Dan. Now, Bilhah conceived. Rachel can kid herself all she wants to. Well, who's in charge here? You know, you go back into the Garden of Eden, and you see that Adam named the child. It says in Genesis 4 and verse number 25 that Adam called his name Seth. And then in Genesis 4 and 26, Seth called his name Enos, and he named the child. And then in Genesis 5 and 25, Lamech, it says, had a child, and he called his name Noah. Genesis 5 and 29. Well, here, what's happening? Leah, she called his name Reuben, 29 and 32. Then she had another child, and she called his name Simeon, 29 and 33. And then she had another child, and she called his name Judah, Genesis 29 and 35. Go on in this story later on. Rachel, she named the child in Genesis 30 and 8, 30 and 11, 30 and 13, 30 and 18, and 30 and 20. She named the child. Well, someone's got to take the leadership here because Jacob isn't doing it. Well, we read in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 12, God said, "As for my people, the children are their oppressors and the women rule over them." Well, the children are the oppressors. What is that? Unjust exercise of authority. Man, the kids are running most of the homes in this world today. And the women rule over them. The Bible says that's what's going to happen. And that is happening big time because dads are not taking their responsibility. Well, in verse 6, we have another son comes on the scene. His name is Dan. In verse 8, we have another one. His name is Naphtali. And verse 9, it says, Leah left bearing. Interesting. It says here, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, that she got a hold of her husband and said, "Let's pray together and see if we can get God to do something for us." Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. And so we go down here, and we have another son. In verse number 12 and 13, we have another son, and she named him Asher. Well, in verse number 14, Reuben. Now, he's thought to be about 5 years old at this time. And it says, "And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes.'" Now we got these two sisters. We've got a tale of two sisters here. And they're not getting along very well. She said, "I want your mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." I tell you what, let's make a deal here. This really is getting sick. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. What kind of a family situation have we got going here? Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got a real wimp by the name of Jacob. Nobody, you know, women are running everything in this program. Well, we read in verse 17, "And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son." Here's the absolute mercy and grace of God in the whole picture. "And Leah said, 'God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband.'" Now, the because was wrong. She didn't have much discernment here. Obviously, none of them do. "And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, 'God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me.'" Yeah, "because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. We can see the whole family situation here is one mess. It's anything but what God would have it to be. "And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb." Well, now Rachel's doing a little praying, a little bit late, but she's praying. "And God opened her womb." And the Bible says in verse number 23, "And she conceived and bare a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.'" Now, you understand that it was a reproach for a woman in that time not to be having children. "Oh, God has taken away my reproach." Well, that's exactly right. That's what happened. Had nothing to do with mandrakes, by the way. What is this mandrake thing back here? Well, you know, they had the idea back there that this mandrake would promote conception. That's what they really felt, whether it does or not. I have no idea. But that's what they believed. But what we do see here is it didn't have any effect on Rachel. And it didn't have any effect on Leah. What we read here is that in verse 22, God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. It was all God's doing. It had nothing to do with mandrakes. But like I said, these people are more worldly minded than spiritually minded, and they're just doing things the way of the world. Well, we do read here that she did get around to praying, and God remembered Rachel, verse 22, and God hearkened to her, obviously praying, and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Well, it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Now, when Joseph comes on the scene, God puts it in the heart of Jacob to get back out of the circumstances and out of the environment that they are in. And so he says to Laban, I want my wives. He goes on to say here in verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eye, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And that is absolutely correct. He wants him to stay around because he recognizes the Lord's blessings are coming through him. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. You can have whatever you want. You tell me what you want, and I will pay you. I just want you to stay. Well, Jacob's learned after 20 years, you can't trust this guy Laban. You know, he's a deceiving individual. And so he said unto him in verse number 29, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast had before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord has blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep the flock. And he goes on to explain this situation about the cattle and the goats, some are going to be ring-staked and some are going to be spotted. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture here, and the schemer is still scheming. Well, Jacob, it says in verse number 41, laid rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. I don't know if these rods had anything to do with anything. I kind of doubt that very much. But what we do read here in chapter 31 and verse number 9, the word God hath. God hath done this, he said. Jacob realized that whatever's going on here, God has done it. And then in chapter 31 and verse 11, we read, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams and which leap upon the cattle are ring-staked and speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban hath done unto thee. It's God that's doing the work here. Well, in chapter 31, we find that Jacob gets his wives together, and he told them in verse 2, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto thy land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah, and he has this discussion with them, and says, you know, verse 6, that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. And so how are these girls going to respond? Well, it says in verse 14, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? And their answer was at the end of verse 16, they said, now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do it. Well, there's some pretty good advice right there. Well, we're out of time again. We'll have to continue this in our next broadcast. Be sure and tune in. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.